Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
There we are.
Thank you. Mike's back with us tonight, and he wasn't here last week, but he's back with us tonight. But Mike did a foolish thing last week, very foolish thing.
Extremely foolish.
I know, foolish thing. We are inside people, okay? We are not beach people. We are inside people. And Mike, in a moment of confusion, unclarity, something, decided that he was a beach person.
Yes. Unprepared beach person.
Unprepared.
Yes. Because, you know, like you said, we're inside people.
We are.
Even though we're surrounded by coast, we're surrounded by the Gulf, and we're surrounded, well, the Atlantic on the other side. And this time I was on the Atlantic side.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my last day, full day staying there. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to venture out. And I went to a winery, did a wine tasting. And afterwards, I said, I am somewhat prepared. I had, you know, swim trunks. And I wanted to go to the Atlantic Ocean. And I did. And I'm still paying for it. That was Saturday. It was an idiotic thing. I didn't tell you about the other part of that beach story.
Oh, there's more.
Totally unexpected. But I went to Fort Pierce. I don't know if y'all know where Fort Pierce is. It's just south of Vero Beach, north of whatever else is out there. But so I was staying out there, went to the beach, and I was trying to find a beach, and I went down A1A. A1A is a major, you know, touristy, goes right by the coastline, all that good stuff. And I kept going south and, you know, just looking on the map, I was like, okay, if I keep the water close to me, there's bound to be a beach somewhere. So I saw a couple of beach access things. And I'd pull in, no parking. All right, go to the next one because they're like dotted different places. And one of them was like beach access, but it was a demolished building. And I thought, okay, there's no beach access there unless you're, you know, going to walk through this rubble.
Right.
Kept going. And I did remember seeing on the map that there was like Hutchinson Island Beach or something. So I kept going on there. Well, all these people were turning left into this one place, and it said beach access. So I thought, I'm going to try it. Parking lot was full except for one spot. One was in the grass, and I said, I'm going to take the grass spot.
Mm-hmm.
And got out. You know, I had my swim trunks on. Everything's ready to go except for no sunscreen, which should be rule number one. If you're going to take sunscreen,
always.
Yeah, except for me. Yes.
Yeah.
And the sign going down this little trail said clothing required beyond this point. And I said, what?
Okay. I've got my swim trunks on.
I thought it wasn't that obvious. Well, I looked to my right, and there's another sidewalk, wider sidewalk where everybody was going through, and it says clothing between here and the beach required. And apparently, I didn't realize until I saw sand, this was apparently St. Lucie County's
clothing
back in 2000 clothing optional from 2020. They approved it. Hold on. I gotta get some music. So
did you take off your trunks and trot out there?
Oh my gosh,
you're sunburned worse than I thought.
Yeah. I'm standing. I couldn't, but apparently, I mean, it was family, open to families of all ages.
Family.
And I thought, yeah, this was weird. And I thought, wow, I didn't realize this existed, but yeah, there's no way I was going to do that. But, it made me feel more comfortable because I saw people kind of like me out there. You know? So I was like, okay, I can do this. But, I just, you know, what do you look at? Oh, look, the water. Okay. Look at the ground again. Keep walking.
Totally different
experience. I've never thought in my wildest or even any kind of dreams that existed. And sure enough, there it was.
Wow.
Yeah. Clothing optional. Yeah.
The
whole family.
I don't know of any of them around here on the West Coast. I can't think of any around. I mean, maybe
the soul. I know where one is on the East Coast.
Yeah, now you do. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, well, I'm glad you didn't take off your trunks. Your sunburn would have been much uncomfortable than it is
worse.
Now.
Yeah.
Much worse. Yeah.
Yeah. So, people, please, the temperature was like 104 is what they said on the radio, actually. And wear sunscreen when you go out there, as I'm learning now.
And
if you don't have sunscreen, don't go. If you don't have it. So,
SPF 50, I mean, about the consistency of motor oil sunscreen, if you're an indoor person, I mean, we're indoor people. So you really need reading that thick sunscreen to get yourself through.
I have always like tanned before I burn. And so I thought, but it has been several years before I ever did that.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought I could get away with it. I would, you know, just tan more, or, you know, turn a brownish color and red apparently is deep red is apparently it.
The new color.
And it was painful. So, but that was Saturday and I'm still suffering through it. So
that's a lesson for all of you. If you come to Florida, bring your sunscreen with you.
Public service.
Don't be like Mike.
Nope. You will suffer. I guarantee.
You will suffer. I'm sure everybody kind of, you know, sympathized and has had sunburns before, but it's just a miserable thing to live through. Absolutely miserable.
Yep. It just hurts to move and everything.
Yes.
I did mention a winery. I don't know if we could go through that real quick, but
yes, I was going to have you tell us all about that. That was before you became non-functional, but cool. What was the winery and all that good stuff?
Well, they're located just between, I'd say, Vero Beach and it's right around Vero Beach, actually. 4200 Johnston Road, technically in Fort Pierce, Florida, is Summer Crush Vineyard and Winery. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, and their grape of choice is the Muscadine. I've never had a Muscadine that I can recall. They were like, oh, we're just about to do a wine tasting. Would you like to partake? And I go, of course I would. I went and did that. And they gave a brief history. Gary Roberts is the owner, Vintner. It's a boutique winery. Not
How
a
long
lot
have
of
been open?
This. 2012.
Okay.
Was when they opened up. He's kind of, it's very beachy inside. There's surfboards. There's, it's very like wood planky, almost like it belongs in Key West more than, you know, out in this area. But I guess because the owners, and they love surfing, and you know, they grew up in Florida and all that, so they decorated it with surfboards and stuff from 1972, and you know, it's just it was very interesting decorations. There's also an outside pavilion area. They do concerts on the weekends. They have food trucks. Yeah, they do. They were having some special event. I forgot what it was on Friday and Saturday, and I got there Saturday, and they were getting ready to set up something. But I said, no, I have to go barbecue for a bit. And I left. But,
they not realizing you meant you.
Yes. And so we tried, there was a small group in there. I went and opted for the, they give you a wine glass with or without stem for $12. And it's a commemorative, you know, it has their information on it, that kind of thing, type of glass. So I got the one with the stem. Yeah. And I got the one with the stem and tried, it was probably about 6 or 7 wines. Then they had some juice that didn't have the alcohol in it. It was just a grape juice, muscadine grape juice. And then we tried Cap'n Polly's Private Plunder, which they gave you a very small amount of, but apparently it's made with brandy. Yeah, it's a Woodford Reserve bourbon barrel aged muscadine dessert wine. A little taste of that. Yeah. And that was good. It was something different, but you know, I made a note, a couple of notes on my tablet, you know, about things that I wanted to, you know, pick up a couple of bottles. There were some good, you know, taste to them, you know, even the white, I was like, yeah, I could do the white, but they got to the reds and I thought, no, this is where I'm going to go with this. But I don't know. I was going to go back Sunday on my way back. They opened at 12 on Sunday and nothing stood out to me. You know, I don't know, maybe it's just the way I did it, but nothing really said, you know, I've got to have that on my, I got to have that on my shelf. And I don't know what to do from there, but I was like,
yeah.
It was good. It was good, but it wasn't like strawberry port good. You know, like, but and then we got to try the. She had two grapes that we could try that were off the vine, and
really?
I thought that was interesting. Yeah, I never tasted a grape like that, and I mean the skin was thick.
Thick.
And
oh yeah, muscadine grapes is like marbles.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was interesting, and the seed, there was like five seeds. I forgot how many was in it, but there was like a little, they were small. But I thought, wow, I've never tasted a grape used for wine, but it, to me, except for the skin, it tasted like a grape. So I don't know. I was just interesting.
What's fun is to go to wineries that are harvesting and taste a couple of different grapes, you know, like a Cabernet grape and a Barbera grape or something like that. And you really can tell the difference in them. They have a little bit unique taste in it. But muscadine grape, you're right. They are very thick-skinned grapes.
Mm-hmm.
I've always noticed that. So are they 2012? I don't recognize the name of the company. That's funny because we were still open until 2016, but I don't remember the name of the company. Do they have a vineyard there, or is it off-site?
They do have a vineyard, and I forgot to ask about the vineyard. She went through some other stuff, and I don't know what. I don't think I wrote anything or asked anything about the vineyard, but I did. When you're driving into the place, you can definitely see on the side of the road that looks like there was a vineyard there, and I think they mentioned briefly about it. But Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's interesting. Good. How many wines did they have total?
In stock, let me see, because there's a bunch of them that are like mango. Mango's out of stock. They have three whites. One of those are out of stock. They have looks like two blush wines. And then one, two, three, five reds.
Mm-hmm.
And two
and
of the five are out of stock. They have one dessert wine. That is the one I described there. They do have sangria, which I also got to sample their mix of sangria, but they don't sell it over the counter. The only way you can get it is by going to the event or the concert, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know.
But they don't sell it.
We were in that same situation when we made our sangria for people to try and have glasses of. We could not sell it, but as bottled, but we could do it by the glass. So.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. It's just the state of Florida regulations that, you know, you can't do it and all that. So, yeah, we had that same situation. We made a sangria that everybody loved. But it was made with our red wine and cinnamon. And, you know, we warmed it up and mixed it up and then chilled it down and all that. Yep. And we had sangria bags, and we sold the bags separately, and we, you know, we sell the wine. We had a little recipe made up so people can do it at home, but we could not sell the sangria bottle.
Yeah, I remember that. You had like a mixture of it. This was the one we sampled was a very berry sangria. It was red wine with cranberry and blackberry juices.
Wow.
And that was their test tape, drink, whatever.
What was the average price point on their wines?
Cheapest was about 18, I think. That was the Old Florida White. Old Florida White, Old Florida Red are 18. Then it goes up to looks like 27.50. They were out of that one. That was a reserve red. That was 27.50. And then the Captain Polly's Private Plunder reserve, the dessert mixed with bourbon, was 34 for the bottle.
Oh, wow.
So that was the most expensive, yeah.
Wow, they're up there a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the ones I was looking at was the Rastaman Red, for $19, which was had a good flavor to it. They were all steel barrels, except for the there was one that was in oak, and I forgot what the heck it was. Not the estate, but all their wines were steel barrels instead of and one I think was oak. Actually, semi-sweet oaked Florida red muscadine is the Rastaman red. Okay.
There you go.
And that was one of my favorites. I wrote down like my top four, and then I ranked them like, come back for this one. And I didn't. I was like, nothing stood out. I don't know. It's just, it was, I don't know, kind of like, something to pick up, but didn't happen. Thank you.
Good review. Thank you. Well, you bus people. Good review. Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That was almost over now. I didn't realize it was taking up that much time.
that's good. Yeah. tell us about that. That's, you know, we haven't. I haven't been out. Well, the pandemic is really cut into us going into wineries and doing stuff like that and tasting some things, and so that's good. I'm glad you had a chance and, you know, very informative information there about that winery. They are located where again?
They are at 4200 Johnston. Let me see. 4200 Johnston Road in Fort Pierce, Florida. It's a little ways off the main road. You can get through it from Interstate 95. right around Vero Beach in that area. And you get on a major road to a smaller road to a smaller road, and then you get to it. And like I said, they're open Tuesday through Sunday. And their website is summercrushwine.com. Summer, as in burning summer sun, crushwine.com. Check it out. I took some pictures, so maybe I didn't take any inside, but I took some of the outside, and lots of parking. A lot of parking, and like I said, there's an outside area, so
if they have events and stuff there, then that's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone take a trip down here, then check that out also. Mm-hmm. Summer Crush Wines. Yeah. I have to honestly say I don't remember the name at all. I was keeping up with Florida Wineries, and I don't remember that one at all.
I thought there would be more, but not here.
Over there on that coast, I'm surprised there isn't. There's a lot of them popping up over the last few years, too. But, you know, like I said, the pandemic has really put, a damper on things for wineries. And I've always said that I still had the winery open during the pandemic, we probably would not have survived. And so, it's good to see that they're still around after that time. So that's a good thing. All right. Very good. Well, thank you for our report on the winery. And if you all get over there, get a chance, stop in a visit and tell them that you heard about them from Mike on All About Wine. And I'm sure they would appreciate
the
that. The who? What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Do you want to do a tasting?
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, good. We've got a few things to talk about tonight, so it's a good thing Mike did some time here, because some of the stuff I was reading was long, and I didn't want to get into a long discussion about something, but I do have some small things to talk about here. The Prisoner Wine Company, I'm receiving emails from the Prisoner Wine Company. I signed up for it, and so I'm getting emails from them. But the Prisoner Wine Company has launched a new white wine brand that they call Blindfold. And it's very simple. I mean, it just is Blindfold, very simple and clear wine. First bottling of 2021, it's a Blanc de Noir. And it says something the team's very proud of, says the director of winemaking. The Prisoner Red Blend is what made the Prisoner Wine Company what it is today, and we saw an opportunity to take the signature formula of blending uncommon varietals to a new category of white wines. So that's what they did. The company says that they've used some Bouvignies, Gewurztraminer, and blended. So it gives a citrus, white flower, white peach, a hint of tart cranberry taste to it. So it's an interesting combo, like they said, going in Gewurztraminer as a combination seems strange, but it's 12.5 alcohol by volume. Oh, I got a bug on my glasses, one of those little fruit flies. Everybody gets fruit flies now this time of year. And I don't know if you know, speaking of fruit flies, there's a little bit of information, FYI. They come home in your fruit you buy at the store from the eggs. The fruit flies lay eggs on the fruit, and it goes through the cycle. And when you take it home, the eggs hatch, and you get the little fruit flies. And some places wash and clean their fruit. Some places don't, but you should always wash and clean it when you get it home to stop your fruit flies. So there's a little... Our tip of the week, what they call it, public service announcement. Oh, my engineer is bringing me in a wine this evening. Okay, what do we got here? Clay Creek Vineyards, a 2020 Pinot Noir. Oh, California. And let me tell you what the back of the bottle says. From our family to yours, we happily share our favorite delectable wines made with grapes from some of California's finest vineyards and bottled at our family's sustainable winery. Sustainable winery. Bust out your favorite wine glass and pour yourself a moment of pure California joy. That's really not too descriptive of the wine, though, is it? It's got a real nice punt on the bottom. That's that little indentation on the bottom. It's got a nice punt on the bottom. Vented and bottled by Clay Creek Vineyards in Manteca, California. 13.5% alcohol by volume is 750. And what else does it say? Nope, that's it. I pretty much read you everything that it said. Excuse me. So, let's see. The color, a very classic Pinot Noir color, not real, real dark. Pinot Noirs tend to be a little bit lighter. But it's got a nice garnet color to it. No discoloration on the edge. Some nice legs on it. For those of you who are looking for legs, these got some nice legs on it. Rather slow. Quite a few of them around the glass, too. Very nice aroma. Again, a classic Pinot Noir aroma. This is very good. Berry, dark berries, and dark cherry. Oh, very nice. And oh, I'm picking up chocolate in the flavor of that. That's unusual. Pinot Noirs don't usually give that to me. A little chocolate undertones to it. And the black cherry tends to come over into out of the nose into the taste also. So very nice. A very nice Pinot Noir. 2020 Sustainable Vineyard. Clay Creek Vineyards, California. So if you see it on the shelf in your area, I do highly suggest that you pick one up. I don't know the price point of this. We get wines, and I always say I'm going to mark down the price on the label just that way I can pass it on, but I did not do that. So, but very good. A Clay Creek 2020 Pinot Noir. Clay Creek Vineyards, it says, 2020. No, excuse me, catch. Actually, it says Clay Creek Vineyards, and it's a big CV, C dot V on the label, and that stands out more than just the name. So look for that if you're looking for it. So back to blindfold. Their suggested retail price for the new white they're coming out with is $35. Little high, I think, price point. But Prisoner Wine Company out with the new new white. Beverage Dynamics came out with their recent edition, digital, but it has some a nice description of white wine terms, or white wine, of wine terms, not white, but wine terms are really, you know, really good terminology list, if you will. Let me give you a few examples here that are very interesting. Acetic acid. This is a cause of wine that has gone bad, normally recognizable through the telltale smell of vinegar or nail polish remover. So if you smell vinegar or nail polish remover in the wine, it's not vinegar. I want to clarify that. A bad wine does not become vinegar It might smell like it, but it doesn't. It's not vinegar. You can't use it as a vinegar substitute. It's spoiled. It's, oh, here it is. This is caused by microbial spoilage and or oxidation. A low level of acetic acid is acceptable in some wines, such as dry, full-bodied red table wines. Sometimes when wine becomes acidic, it actually can be used for cooking. No, I don't think so. I would never use it. They say you can here, but I would not do it. You know, they said that can be caused for vinegar. It's a different process. When you process and make vinegar, you make vinegar. When you make wine, you make wine. Bad wine doesn't automatically become vinegar, any more so than bad apple juice automatically becomes vinegar. And that's, you know, how vinegar is usually made with apple juice. And so if you have bad apple juice in the cabinet, you don't go, oh, this is bad, I'll have to use it for cooking. No, don't. And don't use bad wine for it. Acidity. Okay, that's that lively, crisp tartness of a wine that affects the salivary glands. And then here's another interesting quick definition. Alcoholic fermentation, the process by which yeast turns grapes' sugar into carbon dioxide, or CO2, and ethanol alcohol. In most fermentations, the CO2 is allowed to evaporate, but in method champenoise, fermentations used to make champagne and other sparkling wines, the CO2 is captured under pressure and becomes the bubbles in the bottle. So that's why when you do a home winemaking, a lot of people put a balloon on the top of the jug. And as the balloon gets bigger and bigger, they wait until it gets to a certain size, and then they know it's fermented and it's done. Sometimes fermentation doesn't stop. Sometimes it just goes too long. Or if it doesn't ferment out all the sugars, it can continue to ferment in the bottle or later, and it could cause problems there. You start getting fermentation in the bottle and it could explode the bottle or push out the cork, which is common also. American oak, here's another one. Mostly Midwestern U.S. grown oak from which are crafted barrels used in the process of aging whiskey and wines. Usually imparts assertive oak components similar to resin and is favored in the making of full-bodied red wines. French oak, on the other hand, is known more for finer, delicate flavors. A lot of American oak is being used now by wineries. We've talked to a lot of wineries, and they're using American oak more and more out of Minnesota. A couple of reasons is because of cost. It's cheaper to ship it from Minnesota to your winery than it is to ship it from France to your winery. Although, I just noticed that the EU European unit dollar, the European dollar, used to be a lot higher than the American dollar, but it, for the first time, dropped below the American dollar. The American dollar is stronger than the European dollar now, the European Union money. And so when you do an exchange rate, you're going to get more for the American dollar than you will the European Union dollar. Which is a good thing if you're shipping stuff over here. I mean, the French wine should drop in price a little bit, and well, everything in the American or in the European Union should drop, which includes Germany and France and Italy and Spain and Portugal and all those wine regions. Wine should be a little bit cheaper if that continues to hold true with the money being stronger for the U.S. dollar. We should see a little bit reduction in price from some of those places, whereas stuff shipping overseas is going to cost more money, which could hurt wineries here in the States. I don't think it will too much, though. But, you know, I went on a little bit more on it. AVA, you know, we know what the AVA is. We've talked about AVA. Appellation, a legally defined and protected geographical indication used to identify where grapes for a wine were grown. That's the appellation. Astringent, there's one that you really should know. The astringent, drying, furry, or bitter mouthfeel of wines. normally due to high tannin levels, more typically in reds than whites. It's an astringent wine. It's that, it says it goes drying, furry, bitter is probably the best thing because people can understand bitter. Excuse me, boy. I had a catch in my throat all day again. Austere, term used for wines that are low on fruit flavors and high on acidity and or tannins. A lot of times used to describe young wines that need to age more. And then balance, a harmony between all elements within the wine, the acids, the sugars, the tannins, and the alcohols. So there's just a few here. Barrel fermented, the process of fermenting wine in oak barrels rather than in stainless steel. It can increase the complexity, texture, body, and oakiness, of course. But it's a very good list. I'm going to see if there's some way I can't save this and put it on the Facebook page. I don't know if it will allow me to, but if it does, then I will put it up on the Facebook page or a link to it, if nothing else, and let y'all have a look at it. It's not only wine, but it is also beer. It has a whole bunch of beer technology terms here, or beer terminology, and which is very interesting also. So I will try to get that. Try to get that saved. I don't know if this will let me or not, but I'm not going to fool with it now, because if I fool with it now, then I will do something and lose it completely. So I will wait and have my engineer come in here and say, no, this is how you do it, and then I'll click it around and put it on the Facebook page. But if you don't see it on the Facebook page, it's because it won't let me. And sometimes that does happen on different sites. Okay. I was... Oh, let me see if I had some wineries that I was looking at that sent me emails. And let's see if they're still here. Well, they have to be. I didn't wipe them out. Well, the ones I have talked about in the past are having events and stuff come up, so check them out. Well, maybe I did wipe them out without thinking about it and eliminating them. I have been noted to do that. Okay, well, your local wineries, be sure to visit them as always. I always like to hope that people do visit their local wineries. And, okay, let me get into the page on one here, and we will, there's some information, as always, I want to pass on to you. Is this the one? Yes, this is the one. Wine Folly had an interesting little article here. The impact compounds, as we were going through information, impact compounds tell us about wine, and it's a varietal aromas, smells associated with the wine variety or the blend of the varieties. Okay, fermentation aromas, these are flavors associated with microbial respiration, for example, yeast eating the sugar and off-gassing the aromas. Now, that's hard to understand, it may be, but as the yeast eat the sugars, it does put off a gas, and that gas is a different aroma. You can smell it in some wines. You'll get an odd aroma, and it could be the rest of the yeast eating up the balance of the sugar. They should stop that from happening, but sometimes it doesn't. And then the aging bouquets, aromas derived from the breakdown of chemical compounds with time, temperature, and oxygen. And that's just, you know, the different types of aromas you can pick up in a wine. The molecules are the tiny clusters that go into the nose and hit the nose and go up into the brain and tell you what everything is. Varietal aromas, you can pick up strawberry, currant, bell pepper, depending on what it is that you're tasting. There are specific primary wine aromas that you can find, and those will give you a distinct indication of what you're smelling. It's hard to describe aromas without being in front of somebody and say, okay, now here, try this. This is what this is going to do, and this is what you're going to find out. Like varietal thiols, such as 3-MHA and 2-MMP. These smell like passion fruit or grapefruit, or sometimes even roasted meat or black currant. And you can find it in red and white wines. And there's others. The reason I brought that one up is because Mike's probably smelling that varietal thiols all the time because he roasted his body just like meat. And so he's probably getting himself a nose of varietal thiols all the time.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And then fermentation aromas, acetone and diacetyl, these are malolactic fermentation aromas, which is going to give you the butteriness and the creaminess and all that. And then there's ethyl esters, which apple peels, cooked apples, pineapple, rum-like. These are esters that you're going to pick up. And then aging wine bouquets, chemical reactions will give you, within the red wines, and white wines usually don't age. You won't find many white wines that age, although a Chardonnay can age, but it's not a whole lot. Oxidation could be one of the things that will give you a different taste, but the compound acetic aldehydes is part of oxidation. Wine, sherry, and Madeira are directly exposed to oxygen, and those produce flavors like dried fruit, nuts, and caramelized sugar. And then wood flavors from the wood aging, it's going to give you different flavors also and different aromas. Different species of oak will give you different types of aromas. Chestnut, sometimes used, that will also affect the aroma of it. Also, the barrel toasting, how much toast they do to the barrel will affect your aroma. Methyl alactones will produce a woody coconut aroma. Eugenol smells like cloves and allspice. And then vanillin is the same compound you find in vanilla, so you will taste that. And a lot of wines, you will get the vanilla. You will find that in the Chardonnays and sometimes Sauvignon Blancs and stuff. So, it's all these different ones are just all part of the olfactory, all the smelling, the molecules you're smelling, and that all makes a difference in the wine. That's why it's so important to swirl your glass and smell your wine before you do anything with it. If you don't smell it, then you're going to lose If you don't smell it, then you're going to lose so much of the taste of the wine. So it's very important that you smell it. And you don't have to know what all the terms are, and you don't have to know what it all means and everything. But as you start smelling different wines, you will start noticing different things in that wine and different aromas that will come out all the time. You'll pick up a wine and go, I've smelled this before. What is this? Oh, this is a Cabernet smell. Or this is, like I said, a Pinot Noir here. So it all makes a difference. So use your nose as the first step. That's very important when it comes to wine. Okay, let's go to something else here that I was just looking at. Where is it? This is something I noticed, which was interesting. This is from earlier this month, August 11th. But it is a themed wine. Italian winemaker Vinnie Lunardelli is coming out with a whole series of wines and cheers and all sorts of stuff of Hitler-themed wines. It says Lunardelli is said to have a range of dictator-themed wines with other labels featuring Stalin and Lenin. Mm-hmm. I mean, from Italy? Oh, my gosh. But is the image of Adolf Hitler, it is the image of Adolf Hitler, is causing the problem and concern all over, the European continent. I think it's against the law to have swastika or swastika symbols or something in Germany. I think it is. But he, with a wine range reportedly featuring images of the dictator alongside phrases such as Mein Führer, Sieg Heil, Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer, and just Führer. These are all different ones that he has, different wines that he has made. Don't run away with it. Give me more before you go. The intern just came in to take the wine, and now. Yeah.
I have to hurry or it'll be gone.
It will be. You're absolutely right. Okay. Thank you. she'll be locked in here if you leave her in here. Excuse me again. Okay. Been raised in the past, not least by Holocaust Foundation, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, which has urged people to boycott the wines. But now they're once again coming out. After Austrian plastic surgeon Dr. Dagmar Malesi told local media, Dagmar, a female name, Dagmar Malesi, that she has seen people traveling to the resort of Gesolo near Venice to buy the Hitler-themed wine. So the store employee said Germans very much like to buy these wines, and they're clearly the big hit there, she said. The saleswoman was even amused at my outrage. Nobody is angry about it. No one forbids it. I couldn't believe it, she said. German language women's interest magazine Bild die Frau said it was stunned by the revelations in a piece titled Scandalous, Hitler Wine is Offered for Sale. The seller products that feature fascist imagery, including swastikas, is illegal in Germany and Austria. There, I thought it was. Okay. It says so there. Though mostly legal in Italy, where the wine was spotted for sale. Winemaker Lunardelli has received backlash about the wines featured in the, his historical series in the past. So he's done this before. Why? I don't know. We don't need to make a comment.
I'm on his website right now. It's he's got a vinnylunardelli.com. V-I-N-I. Yeah, it's got, and he shows the historic line and quite a few labels. I didn't realize, you know, we're talking about a few, but I mean, there's, I don't know, 30 here.
Wow.
Let's see, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So over 30, I think. Yeah.
Well, they only show 5
labels
for Hitler here.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch on their website. If you go to vinnylunardelli.com and look at the wines or who they are, it tells you kind of right off the bat what it is. You have to go into English mode before you can read it. But, yeah, kind of.
V-I-N-I, is it?
Yeah, V-I-N-I-L-U-N-A-R-D-E-L-L-I. .com. Oh, 50th anniversary. Wow.
There it is.
50 years. 67.
All sorts of different lines on here. Wow. Wow, what is that?
Yeah, I think go under at the top, the vines, and then history line. I just click on history line, and you'll see all the different ones there. But it's interesting.
It is.
I didn't think Italy would allow it either.
I would think not. I really, that's strange.
Yeah.
Or a bunch of them with Hitler on it. It was just a few I read there, but there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And then Rommel and wow.
Yep.
I'm surprised that no wonder people are getting upset. Jeez. And it's in German, Führer, where Fragendani, ist der Deutschland, with a picture of him. Adolf Hitler ist der Siegel. Wow. Heil Hitler on this one here. Oh. That is odd. I'm not a fan. Yeah. Okay, it says choose the label you want, click on the configure button, and configure your collector's bottle. Oh, these are labels. I don't think these labels are on all the different wines. I think what they're doing is you can click on a label that you want on the wine you purchase.
Oh.
I think that's how it works. Let's click on and see what it says in Rommel here. Price $9 euro, which is pretty cheap. Jeez. Well, maybe not now. I clicked on Rommel and it shows a Cabernet Franc and a description of that. So maybe each one does have a different wine for it. That is really, really strange. Well, let's click on this one here and see what this one says. Okay, that Cabernet Franc. Same thing again. So let me click on this one here. Oh, this one, you know, a different label, but this is a Ribolla Gialla Extra Dry 2016. Doesn't say anything more about it than that. Let's click on this, and let's see what this says. This is a Cabernet Franc. So it looks like they might have couple, three different types of wines, but you can pick the label that you want on your wine. With Hitler or, let's see, they have Hitler and they have, a bunch of Hitler there, and Rommel, full of Rommel, and, yeah, mostly Hitler, though. Yeah, and that one, oh, here's a Grappa Friulna, a Grappa wine. And it doesn't say the cost of that one. It says 40% alcohol by volumes. A Grappa is usually a higher alcohol anyway. But, and this is a Cabernet Franc again. So it looks like they have, you know, Cabernet Franc mainly, and you can get your label, whatever label you want on your bottle of wine. This is No Code Hitler wine, and that's the Cabernet Franc also. Well, I repeat, I am History Line, the History Line. Der Führer. Certification, that you got to download that information, and production. Well, that's interesting. And I repeat, I am not a fan. So, century of experience, origins, generational shift and development. And they also have like a 2.5 minute video that you can watch, located in well, their addresses are weird there. Located in Italy, via Udine, Italy. So, like Mike said, if you want to look it up, check it out yourself. VINILUNARDELLI.com. And that's the website. Again, I don't think it's right. Opinion. Interesting. So,
I got a quick shout out to Doug, who left a comment on our video feed. Thank you, Doug, for watching. But he said, we are watching it on our live video feed. So thank you very much. And a big shout out to you. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Doug. Here's a little quick thing. Are grapes the new apple of Washington? Washington wine industry is booming, and it has been. I mean, it's been getting more and more and more, but it's really booming now. It was down for a while, and it's picked up. And Washington apples are like taking a back seat. What they're doing is a lot of wineries used to be orchards, and they're tearing up the acreage and putting in vineyards. In terms of value in 2021, the value of utilized production for Washington apples was $2.1 billion. Wine grapes are far behind at $262 million, but it has wine has almost doubled in the last 10 years. And, you know, according to the data, Agriculture Department, U.S. Agriculture, apples took up 172,000 acres in 2021. Wine grapes was at 57,000 acres, and that's increasing continuously, too. So there are areas where the orchards, apple orchards, aren't as profitable as wine. A guy who tore up his vineyard and or tore up his orchard and put in a vineyard said simply, you can't sell an apple for $100, but you can a bottle of wine. So economically, it makes sense, although you have that lapse in there. But I guess if you slowly put in vineyards and continue to sell apples, you can balance out and still get your income year after year. But it is picking up a lot in the grapes in Washington compared to apples. It's starting to show the difference. So, all right. Well, I am going to quit for the night. And everybody, we feel sorry for Mike because he's still... I really do feel sorry for you. We've all had a sunburn at one time or another. We've all had a sunburn, and we all know how miserable it is. So it's like a group sympathy for you, yes. That sunburn.
Well, thank you. Well, it's I haven't experienced this in we're talking probably decades. Thankfully, the internet and amateur doctors everywhere have offered, little bits of advice, and I appreciate that as well, because everything is, let me try this. But it shouldn't last this long, though. That's my point.
It shouldn't, yeah.
last
that long.
Yeah. Every time I brush up against it or try to, get some sleep, this is what happens. And yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah, really. Really.
Okay, that's enough. Thank you. Back to sleep.
Is it just on your back, or is it all over?
Oh, no. No. Shoulders, front, arms. It's just ridiculous. I can't get comfortable for anything. Touching
my.
It. It's, sitting up is fine. I can do this all day, but as soon as I touch something, forget it.
I predict that in 4 to 6 weeks, it'll all be a bad memory.
Oh, hopefully I'm back to work by then.
Yeah. 4 to 6 weeks.
And then I was thinking I was going to make a doctor's appointment. And I thought, no, because then I have to put a shirt on, and I don't want to aggravate this because it hurts just touching anything. And I've tried soft material. I've tried, like the cottons and all, everything they recommend. And I'm like, I can't touch anything.
Oh,
and,
wow.
So not going to a doctor this way. So anyway.
By the time you get ready to wear a shirt, then it'll be healed enough that you don't need to see a doctor. So.
Right. That's what I'm counting on.
Yeah, hoping.
Hopefully,
anyway.
This weekend. Yeah.
Well, you can't get third-degree burns from the sun. First, second, and third-degree burns from the sun. I mean, it's, no blistering or anything. Yeah. So that's the only thing that you can be happy about.
Yeah, nothing like that yet. But I guess I'm not going to – I don't know. I don't know how to tell the difference. But it's
and with it all over your body, we can't graft it off of one area and put it over your skin. So because you're everywhere.
That's not
going
to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah. And again, I'm happy you decided not to go clothing optional. That would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were probably a couple hundred people on this beach, and I found a quiet area enough, that away from everybody. But I would guesstimate there's at least 100 plus, on this little stretch of, mile long or whatever it is. But I know if I went that route, that it would have cleared them out, and I'd be all by myself at that point. But
a lot of people, though. You think 100 and half of them were, without their clothing, without their swimsuit. That's
it's
a lot of people.
It was more than half. Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Probably Yeah, probably 80-90% at least. Yeah.
Wow.
I was, yeah, yeah. They definitely took advantage of that, you know, being optional deal.
Wow.
Not me. Nope.
Felt like you were in Europe.
We will. Yes. Yeah. It is 1:06 a.m. London time. I don't know why I said that, but we will be back.
Just said Europe, yeah.
next Thursday, which is September 1st. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
September 1st. Already in September. 7 p.m. Eastern time. If you want to catch us live, like Doug did as well. Thank you, Doug. And he's in our BTR chat as well. So thank you. And we'll talk with you next week, the 1st of September at 7 p.m. Eastern time again. And thank you all for tuning in and have a great week and be safe. Weekend.
Be safe out there. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
There we go. We are
to the green room.
To the green room.